Another tactic was to name a compliant citizen from each country as the nominal head of a given corporation. Meanwhile, the directors would be a blend of German administrators and bank officials. Officers at senior and management levels would be German scientists and technicians. The real ownership of the corporation would be Nazis holding bearer bonds as proof of stock ownership. These individuals, all part of the Bormann operation, would remain in the shadows. The targeted nations generally were appreciative of Bormann's scheme, as it meant increased employment and a more favorable balance of trade. In 1941, 171 American corporations had more than $420 million invested in German companies. After war was declared, Bormann merely had operatives in neutral countries such as Switzerland and Argentina buy American stocks using foreign exchange funds in the Buenos Aires branch of Deutsche Bank and Swiss banks. Large demand deposits were also placed with major banks in New York City to include National City Bank, now Citibank, Chase, now J.P. Morgan Chase, Manufacturers and Hanover, now part of J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Guarantee, and Irving Trust, now part of the Bank of New York. At the Strasbourg meeting, Scheidt cited several prominent American companies that had been useful to Germany in the past. Due to patent obligations, United States Steel, American Steel and Wire, and National Tube had to work in conjunction with the Krupp Empire. He also mentioned Zeiss Company, the Leica Company, and the Hamburg America Line as firms that were especially effective in protecting Nazi interests. Bormann's complex, yet well-organized, flight capital operation confounded Orvis A. Schmidt, the U.S. Treasury Department's Director of Foreign Funds Control. In 1945, Schmidt stated, "The network of trade, industrial, and cartel organizations has been streamlined and intermeshed, not only organizationally, but also by what has officially been described as personnel union. Legal authority to operate this organizational machinery has been vested in the concerns that have majority capacity in the key industries, such as those producing iron and steel, coal, and basic chemicals. These concerns have been deliberately welded together by exchanges of stock to the point where a handful of men can make policy and other decisions that affect us all."
This is the end of the CD. The audiobook continues on the next CD.